Good afternoon and welcome to Real Talk. This is a show that seeks to answer questions big and small. Today's question is, what is our island's relationship with King County government and how might it change? To answer that question, we have someone with some big answers. He's been a Vashon Island hero since the glacier days that gave us Maury Island Marine Park. He is currently the King County Executive Dow Constantine. Welcome, Dow.
Well, hi, Susan. Thanks for having me. Not the actual Glacier Days, but the Glacier Northwest Company days.
Yeah.
The glacial days were a while farther back.
That would make you really, really old. That's right. I have, of course, many questions for you. The one on top of mind for everyone right now, I think, is gun control since the Parkland, Florida school shooting. What, if anything, do you feel is necessary to increase protections for King County students?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, clearly a lot of this is the broader question of breaking the stranglehold of the NRA on Congress and on our state government. I was in Olympia a few weeks ago to attend a press event with the governor, and then I testified in a Senate committee seeking more local authority to regulate gun sales and to really be able to protect our local residents. It is we are effectively preempted from any local regulation of guns. So what we did after the Sandy Hook massacre was launch a public health approach to reducing gun violence and increasing safety in our community, and that has us studying each youth-involved shooting to identify the root causes and what could be done to prevent it in the future, gathering the kinds of statistics that the Centers for Disease Control is prohibited by Congress from collecting. But because we are one of the nation's major local public health agencies, we do have the capacity, the chops, to be able to do that kind of work. And, you know, clearly the gun violence epidemic is an epidemic. It is a public health crisis just as it is a public safety crisis. And so we believe that that approach that's within our authority is a good and appropriate one. But, you know, ultimately, we have got to get out of this mindset that everyone should have access to military-grade weapons. They're unnecessary. I don't need to repeat all this for you. I mean, everybody knows this. It is just preposterous and outrageous, and our children and we should not have to fear that the trip to school in the morning is potentially going to be met with gun violence. So, you know, I testified in two bills in Olympia, safe storage of firearms, and then allowing, as I said, local governments to pass common sense safeguards around safe storage or requiring that stolen firearms be reported. And I noted then that, you know, this public health aspect of gun violence, you know, shows us that it is a preventable epidemic. We can take it on the same way we took on smoking or deaths from auto accidents. And, you know, we continue, you know, I'm a father, and like all people, like all parents, it is impossible to completely stow the fear that you have when you see the kind of tragedy we saw last week in Florida. And not to be outraged at the stranglehold the gun lobby has on our elected officials. We can't let their callousness or their fealty to the gun industry prevent us from saying with a loud collective voice, enough is enough.
And as you mentioned, you are standing in opposition to our Congress on this issue. You're also standing up for women's reproductive rights, immigrant rights, and more in opposition to the Republican Congress and the Trump administration. How do these positions affect federal support for King County? What kind of resistance do you get for your positions?
Well, I mean, the federal government historically has been our strong partner. during the Obama administration, we worked very closely with the federal government on a whole range of issues. Now, suddenly, our national government is our primary adversary. And that, you know, and particularly the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, has repeatedly attempted to coerce us into enforcing what they wish were the immigration laws of the country, but in fact are not. We are not their agents for purposes of tracking down undocumented residents of the county. They do not have the authority to compel us to do those things. You know, they like to talk about fake news. They want us to enforce fake laws, and they are threatening us with the withdrawal of funding and other sanctions if we don't do their bidding, and we're not going to do it. So there will be continued fights, I think, over their threats to withdraw federal funding for priorities like preventing recidivism. That's the specific money that Sessions is threatening, preventing people from, you know, committing crimes over and over again, but also federal funding for transit projects and environmental programs and public health and battling the opioid epidemic. All of these things are strong partnerships we've had with the federal government in the past, all of which, to one degree or another, are threatened by this administration, its priorities, and its particular obsession with harassing the vulnerable in our community.
Have they actually rescinded any funding yet, or is this just saber-rattling?
So far, it's just saber-rattling, although obviously the president's budget, proposed budget, would do great harm to a lot of our priorities in this region. But, you know, they don't have the authority to simply withdraw funding based on our unwillingness to do whatever Donald Trump tweets out. The law still is that Congress has to authorize these things. Congress sets policies. And we are, in fact, following the law as written in the United States, and we're going to continue to do so.
Hooray for you.
I know. What a bold stand.
Yeah, really. What a concept. Yeah. February 19th, you did an op-ed in the Seattle Times urging Washington state legislators to revamp our tax system based on the ability to pay, taking into consideration the shrinking property tax base, the growing divide between upper and lower income people, and the growing wealth in our region. Tell us what you want to change and why.
Well, you know, our tax system in this state, fundamentally, the basic tax system was created back around the Depression. And it has not changed much since then. It has, to the extent it's changed because people with lobbyists, well-heeled interests, have been able to go and get themselves accepted from things. And there have been some populist initiatives that have really hampered our ability to raise the funds we need to provide the basic services people need. But, the system's the same. It's heavily reliant on property tax and sales tax. But, you know, the economy has changed radically. So people used to spend a very large proportion of what they have on things that were taxable sales. As the service economy has expanded, the percentage of total sales that are taxable has shrunk. And also, as the gap has opened between the rich and the poor, this income inequality, those at the bottom end spend a much higher proportion of what they have on things that are taxable than folks at the top end. And so this has the sort of dual effect of reducing available revenues fairly substantially to state and local government, and also exacerbating the challenge for those who are falling farther and farther behind this economy. And property tax, you know, for most working class and middle class people, their home is their one major asset. It's the one investment that they have. And here, piling on the property tax in a place where housing costs have risen so quickly and so radically really makes it difficult for the middle and working class folks who are just scrambling to try to keep up, to try to avoid falling into the downward spiral in this economy. it makes it very, very difficult for them. A fairer system is now absolutely imperative, and the state legislature has before it a number of ideas to help make the system fairer. Exempting people based on income, seniors, veterans, etc., from certain property tax increases. We've asked that we be allowed to exempt seniors, vets, and low-income disabled people from local levy lid lift increases, because that would allow us to be able to provide services without burdening those who are already struggling. But even more interesting is a proposal to create a capital gains tax in Washington, where you would be taxed on the gain that you receive from investments over $50,000 per couple, and not including your residence.
That was my next question.
And then they would use that to offset some of this huge property tax increase that was put in place to satisfy the McCleary ruling from the Supreme Court. The Republican Senate last year very cleverly engineered a solution to McCleary where it was all piled onto property tax, and the ultimate effect of that is that it will pretty much all be paid by King County homeowners and property owners.
Really?
Along with San Juan County. Those are the only two counties that are net donors to this whole thing. In most of the rest of the state, people, after a couple of years, we'll actually be getting a tax reduction as we subsidize their local school districts in place of the levies that they had locally.
And, we being King County?
King County,
yeah. Okay.
And it's because of the change, the rapid change in property values, right? But people's incomes haven't changed like that.
Right.
They're just struggling more and paying more of what they have to be able to continue to live here. So the example I gave a group of our cities who gathered a few weeks ago was this. My parents are both retired public school teachers. They live on Social Security and their teacher's pension. They live in the house in which I was raised in West Seattle. Their property values have gone up and up and up and up, as has the cost of doing everything else around here. My mom's brother and his wife, my aunt and uncle, are retired public school teachers. They live in the house in which they raise their children in Centralia. My parents will be asked to pay more taxes to subsidize the Centralia school district. My aunt and uncle ultimately will get a tax decrease. They have the exact same income. That is a system that is sort of inherently wrong. It's unfair. And it's not just about, it's not fair that I'm paying more and you're paying less. It destabilizes our entire community for people to lose their housing security, to have to give up the home that they have lived in all these years, to move away from their community, their family, their friends, their church, the business community. Those are the ties that bind us together and hold us up when we're falling. And so it is a loss of sort of social equity that accompanies this economic unfairness that I'm concerned about. So the legislature needs to take on tax fairness, and they need to take it on in a very serious way over the course of not just the rest of the session, but the interim as well.
And, you know, that discussion of property tax increases brings our discussion right home to Vashon Island. Our Vashon property taxes are increasing at an average of 24% this year. And we have a lot of folks in the same situation as your parents. I didn't realize that this was basically happening on the backs of King County and San Juan County.
Oh, yeah.
For the entire state. I hope they're grateful.
I do not think that they're particularly grateful. I think that, you know, we're going to feel the brunt of it, and people will continue to feed the myth that the rest of the state is somehow supporting Seattle and King County, which is just
not
nonsense.
True. Yeah, right. Well, on that subject, this tax increase, as you have touched on, is going to affect affordable housing. And we've had a lot of discussion here on Vashon Island about how to make housing affordable and allow our teachers, our police officers, our medical personnel, and so forth, to continue living here. You have or are proposing the creation of a new department, and that is the Department of Local Services. And it's going to combine, according to what I've read, the Department of Permitting and Environmental Review with Road Services, airport divisions of the Department of Transportation, the Community Service Area Program of the Department of Natural Resources and Parks, on-site septic system and plumbing and gas piping programs from the Environmental Health Division of Public Health. How is this combination going to help Vashonians, for instance, who might want to build a tiny home on their property?
Right. Well, of course, the big pieces of this are permitting and roads. Those are the big local services. But and then there are others. And really what is included depends on our ultimate analysis of what is going to most improve customer service, what makes sense, and whether they can work across departmental lines or need to be focused in the Department of Local Services. The point is, and this is something that we have been considering talking about since I first joined the County Council back in 2002, the point is to really have a department that has as its sole focus the residents, the 250,000 residents of unincorporated King County, effectively the second largest city in the state of Washington. It is a huge population, and yet in the context of a county of nearly 2.2 million, sometimes unincorporated residents can get short shrift, can end up not having their needs heard clearly because no one person other than their local council member, no one person in the executive branch is responsible solely for their well-being. And so our goal is to create a department that is able to focus on the specific needs of unincorporated area residents, not all rural, because remember we still have White Center and Skyway and other areas, and to make sure that their concerns are being elevated, their priorities are being brought forward in the government, and that we are responding in a way that allows us to deliver services as to the best of our ability. We have this sort of internal motto about creating the best-run government, and I want us to be able to create the best-run local government for the virtual city that is unincorporated in King County.
How much actual input will the citizens of the local communities, specifically our own Vashon and Maury Islands, how much input will they have into how this new department operates?
Well, they will have a lot because, you know, that's very much the point. We are working now on strategies to help people connect in ways that they haven't before on, you know, potentially surveys and other kinds of research that could be conducted regularly and that mimic what some of our cities do within their boundaries with their residents, with forums and town halls. We have an email for folks who want to begin addressing what the Department of Local Services can and should do, and it is asklocalservices@kingcounty.gov, asklocalservices@kingcounty.gov. You can email the head of our transportation department, Harold Taniguchi, is leading the transition from the current state to the future state, and we are very excited about the opportunity to give the residents of unincorporated King County a more direct voice and a department that focuses specifically on their needs.
How do you think all this is going to fit into the region's population explosion? And was that one of the impetuses to make you consider this department?
Well, you know, the unincorporated area relative to the total county has gotten smaller, even though it experiences some population growth each year, because we've been very good and determined in our work on growth management. Most of the growth in King County, unlike many other counties, goes into cities. This has some, you know, very beneficial effects, protecting the environment, helping preserve the rural character of much of King County. But of course, it also has reduced the resources available per capita to provide services like paving of the roads. The fact is that, you know, most of the businesses are now inside cities, and the Vashon example notwithstanding, most of the high value and thus high tax property is inside of cities. The tall buildings in downtown Seattle, mm-hmm. the shopping malls and business parks, they're all incorporated. And so that is where the funding exists for local government, and King County is left to try to piece together the funds to serve a vast geography with a pretty sizable population that has high expectations for the services they receive.
We're talking with King County Executive Dow Constantine on Real Talk at Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM, KVSHOP, Vashon Island, Washington. And we can do this thanks to Windermere Vashon Real Estate, who makes all our information programming possible, as well as our emergency alert service. You've been a Vashon hero for a long time. And we're grateful to you for that, and for Sharon Nelson. I think she was your assistant for a long time, wasn't she?
She was my chief of staff. And Sharon and I met when I was first in the legislature. She had a challenge with a septic system that she had installed, and she was concerned about septic regulation and came to me in Olympia to talk about this. And we eventually worked on legislation. Then she introduced me to the challenge surrounding the Maury Island gravel pit. Mm-hmm. And we started working on that. And when I moved to the county council, I asked if she would mind coming to work on my staff. And now she's the Senate Majority Leader. So there you go.
Man, you have good taste.
How things happen. Yeah, and actually the House Majority Leader, Pat Sullivan, who's the number two to Speaker Chop, is also one of my former staffers who worked alongside Sharon in our office at the county council.
Will there be, as we're speaking about representative government, will there be specific representatives from each of the local communities that are involved in the Department of Local Services? Will there be appointed representatives or elected representatives to go to this department?
Yeah, the community service area program will continue. So that network of CSAs will be able to continue to provide that local representation. But now the CSA program will be plugged into departments that have actual budgets and do operational work and have a departmental director, and all of that will allow them to not merely provide information or allow Alan Painter and his associates in the CSA program to be a conduit of information, but actually to be accountable for the delivery of services in each of the regions of the county, because now there will be an entire departmental structure around to support them. So that is the mechanism. The CSAs is in the current construct will be the mechanism where we're able to continue, in addition to direct outreach through community forums and town halls, surveys, and the county council offices. And I want to emphasize that this will be unusual in the sense that each unincorporated region of the county has one person, a specific county council member, in addition to the executive to represent it. So and I had a conference with some of the council members last week, working on really setting up the exact right protocol so that we can make sure that those council members are taking the lead on the local issues in our representative government. And so, for example, on Vashon, we would want to make sure that Council Member McDermott, Council mm-hmm. Chair McDermott, is involved every step of the way in providing direction, lending insight, gathering the community, and so forth. And then we have the roads division, we have the permitting division in this case, we have these other services that can be brought to bear to solve the problems in the local community.
So it sounds like what you're going to do is amplify the direct contact between Vashon and King County Council and this through this department.
And amplify the ability of the community and the council members to really get stuff done, right?
Yeah.
You know, right now, you've got, and it, you know, it might not just be roads and permitting or some of the other incidental services, but it might be transit, for example, which is a countywide function. But if you've got a department director who is responsible for making sure that local needs are met, and you've got a council member coming to advocate, it raises it to a cabinet-level conversation between transit and Department of Local Services about how transit is being provided in the unincorporated area. And I think that will tend to make services better. We are in uncharted territory now. We're doing things just as we're the one county that's really thoroughly complied with Growth Management Act. Now we are taking on this new approach to delivering services to the unincorporated area as if it were a city and we were a city government for those 250,000 people. And so, you know, we're going to be learning as we go. But I'm excited about the renewed focus or the new focus on local services. And I'm really looking forward to the chance to build on the foundation of continuous improvement and good management that we've built over the course of the last 8 years to be able to deliver better for the people of unincorporated King County.
Well, and when you say transit, that rings big bells for me and a lot of folks here, and I'm going to put you on the spot here because
sure. We
would love
Don't ask me to name specific bus routes.
But the water taxi. The water taxi only runs at rush hour in the morning and rush hour in the evening during the week right now. There are a whole bunch of folks who would love to see it happen on the weekends and in the evenings so we can go straight downtown, save the gas, save the carbon monoxide, and get directly to Seattle. What are the chances that that might increase?
Well, it would require more revenue. Yeah, that's all there is to it. So the county council needs to consider each year, really, whether they're going to increase, decrease, or maintain the property tax and other revenue that funds the passenger ferry service. And the only two passenger ferries right now are Vashon and West Seattle, and they're both in one council district. So the other eight council members are, reasonably enough, wanting to make sure that they have transportation services that are appropriate for their districts. So there's a lot of conversation that goes on every year to make sure that we maintain the passenger ferry system and, to the extent possible, increase service to meet growing demand. I, being a West Seattleite, of course, agree that it would be great to have these boats running more hours, later evenings, weekends, etc. And we will continue to look for opportunities to do that.
Nice answer. I like that. Okay, one last question, another that's going to put you on the spot. There are rumors about your political future. What are the chances we will be choosing between you and Bob Ferguson for the gubernatorial race?
Well, I was just sworn in for my third term last month. Got a nice round 77.25% of the vote, but you know, who's counting? I'm really, as you can tell from our conversation, focused on the work at hand, reorganizing government to make sure that serves people better, on transit, on reforming juvenile justice and the inquest process, on one table where we've brought together the whole region around the challenge of homelessness, and on tax fairness, which you and I have discussed. So
Yes. That's
a lot of work to take on, a lot of important goals to achieve, and ultimately, a satisfying set of achievements that we can, you know, put forward for me, for our employees, for the people of this county. Whatever happens after that is a bit up to fate, but we're going to do our best with the opportunity that I have before me now, and then we'll see what happens after that.
It sounds like you're having fun no matter what.
You know, I really am. This is a great gig. We cover everything. You can dive as deeply as you want into work on climate change or on restoring our waterways and to helping make sure people are connected to the new economy or that every child gets off to the best start in life. And I can't imagine that there is any job around here that has more opportunity to do more good and to, you know, ultimately be able to look back and say, I made life better for folks. And so I'm very grateful for the opportunity to serve this third term.
Well, King County Executive Dow Constantine, I cannot thank you enough for the time that you've given us. It does sound like you've got a great gig and you're enjoying the opportunity to do good.
I am.
You've been listening to Real Talk here on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington, with our very special guest, King County Executive Dow Constantine. I want to thank our producers, Kaya Boding and Bill West, and the composer of our theme music, Luke McQuillan. Join us next week. We're here every Tuesday at noon. Next week, The Breathable Body with Robert Littman. Learn how to use your breath to heal yourself. Thanks for listening.